Panic and Treat the Podcast is a personal podcast produced for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content reflects the host's opinions and personal experiences as new graduate nurses. It does not constitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
All patient details have been changed or left out to protect privacy in accordance to HIPAA guidelines. Any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. The point of views in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, schools, or any organizations we are connected to. For health concerns or concerns of a general nature, please talk to a qualified professional. And with that, let's get started.
Okay, Jess, tell us what this episode is.
So this week we're going to talk about pre-shift anxiety and how we minimize our pre-shift anxiety. We put a little tidbit out on Instagram asking people, how do they provide themselves with, self-care after a shift? What do you do to unwind? And then talk about, some of the things that are, rules for us as new grads.
Our niche, little rituals we do to make sure the shift goes okay.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks, because we got a couple, because we've been doing this for a year now. So
okay.
All right, Laura, what's our smell this week?
Our smell this week is Island Margarita from Bath & Body Works. We've got to have at least a couple more summer scents.
Yep, before the fall happens.
It actually makes me a little sad. I want the fall to be here, right now. right now. I love a good 70-degree weather. I love the snow as well. My car tires do not, though. I need
Write that down.
More pick up a shift. I gotta pay for those. I don't want to pay for those.
Pick up a shift.
All right. Well, I have a little bit of a story to tell everybody, because one of the things we'll talk about today is getting together with a new grad group. If you might already have one as a new grad, you might already have people that your hospital puts you with to kind of help. I don't know, build camaraderie.
Yeah, we have our cohort. We actually just went to class today. It's our new grad class, but we go over some things that aren't really super gone into depth in, just so we have more of a background. Today we went over blood administration and some tips and tricks with catheters and stuff
A couple different pumps that we don't normally see on the floor.
Yeah. So we have a good little group. Our name is the Pretty Pierwicks, because every cohort gets to name themselves, and we're a bunch of girls. So I'm expecting a bedazzled Pierwick at the end of this, okay?
It's gotta be pink.
Gotta be pink.
But anyways, I was telling the girls, because we all went to have a big old taco lunch afterwards, the girls who were there for the day. Mm-hmm. And oh God, I was telling them the story, and I went, I think I might actually have to tell this one on the podcast. I was like, I know, because some people can get so embarrassed over things that they do during their new grad. And I'm totally of the opinion that if you hear something more embarrassing than what you have done, so
suddenly everything it's not else a big deal anymore.
So I'm going to go on the internet and tell you my most embarrassing story.
And I'm going to try not to die laughing, because I already did once today.
And know that may you feel better when you think about me, and then you think about the most embarrassing thing that you've done. Oh, drop it in the comments if you want to. We'll laugh with you. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we have these things. They're called trackers that you wear on your little shoulder right here. And you've got a green button, a panic button. If you need somebody to come in really quick and help you, that alarms over the whole system, and then it'll alarm in the actual hospital. So it'll on the floor, everybody will be able to hear that you need assistance.
Yeah, if it's the staff assistance, it's just the floor.
And they come running. But once you hit the red button, it actually calls it overhead, and it's the whole hospital knows mm-hmm. that something is going on your floor and things are going down.
We need more help
there. So it is my second day on the floor. Day two. Mind you, nobody had told me in depth what the trackers actually do. So I was having kind of a rough day. I had not peed since the start of my shift, which you need to take your pee breaks. TMI, but it's...
Take your pee breaks.
If you end up with a UTI...
It's your own damn fault.
Because you couldn't pee. That would be my 13th reason, I think.
Dude, I've almost peed my pants on the floor trying to hold it.
So anyway, so it's 4:00 and we were having the busiest day ever. I am overwhelmed. And I said, I'm going to go pee. I was like, nobody talk to me. Leave me alone. I need to pee. I need 5 minutes alone. So I'm just in there doing the damn thing. And my preceptor starts pounding on the door, and she's like, "Alora, are you okay?" And I'm pissed at this point. I was like, "Everybody, leave me alone." I was like, "I'm just trying to have a little silent break, and y'all are right there." So I am just completely unbothered at this point, right? And I'm just wiping, and I'm going to wash my hands, and they're like, "Alora, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just fine. What are y'all doing?" Only to open the door, and the entire staff for the day is in the break room. Because I had set off the panic button when I was reaching over to get toilet paper. And I was just looking at everybody like, "What are y'all doing in here? We got colleagues to get to." Oh, and oh my gosh, it was just so embarrassing because I was so mortified because they called it overhead to like security was coming up to the floor. Press your button. As I pressed the button and it stopped, and I was like, "Oh, that was me." It's like, "I'm so sorry, everyone. I didn't. I panicked everybody."
Which is funny because in the public bathrooms, they have like the pull cords. And one of the girls at lunch was saying that one of the doctors used it to get her all toilet paper one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, "He freaking would. He freaking would." Everybody's panicking. He's like, "I just need a roll of toilet paper."
So remember, friends, when you think of that embarrassing little random thing that you did, just remember, I don't think it'll ever top that.
Somebody's done something funnier.
I hope so. Make me feel better in the comments, please, because I was mortified. I literally could not bring it up for like an entire year. Oh, and then I just was recently thinking about it, and I was like, that's a story that people need
to know. That's a story that people need to know. Yeah. I, a couple weeks ago, was chatting one of the doctors on Epic, and I was like, "Why did you order Glue Commander for this patient? They're not diabetic." And he just so happened to be up on the floor, and he like came over and found me at the nurse's station. He was like, "Jessica, look at the bottom of their history." And I was like, "Huh?" So I'm like scrolling, and I'm like, "Oh."
You were like, "Look at
they that. Are in fact diabetic, but crazy. You know, just nobody told me that when they gave me a report, and I'm an idiot."
Reminder, look at the chart, friends.
Which
look
is at and the it chart. Was, oh my god, it was so funny because I was like, "I'm just a new grad," and like obviously I've worked with him for over 3 years now. Uh-huh. And he was like, "Jessica, you are not a new grad."
He was like, "Shut up,
I was like, "I'm just a baby."
I'm just a baby.
So it's okay if you say stupid stuff, because, like, at least you didn't, you probably knew your patient was diabetic.
Well, yeah, because, like, imagine they weren't diabetic for some reason.
I know, I was, like, very worried that we were going to be giving a man.
I would always rather look a little bit dumb, and if I hadn't seen something in the chart and ask about it, instead of stay quiet, and then something bad happens.
Yeah, and
then
somebody gives them insulin and drops them into the 20s, you know?
Yeah, because they didn't need it. Like, yeah. No, thank you. So, just to let you know, you are not alone out there. We are right there with you, doing dumbass shit.
Lindsay from Friends and Enemas, you're not dumb, you're overwhelmed.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Yes. Okay, so let's just get right into it then. You're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do with yourself. You're brand new to nursing. Mm-hmm. What is the first thing you do before you come to a shift?
So I've been doing this for way too long because I am the girl that rolls out of bed and throws my scrubs on and leaves.
Same.
But I know I put it out on Instagram, like some of the things that people do to like unwind or like prepare for their shift. And a lot of people responded that they listen to music in the morning.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Did people actually comment on the
Instagram? Yeah, I got like a bunch of comments.
Oh my god, I haven't even looked.
Oh yeah, no.
Not and a single person commented on like, our TikTok.
And
hello,
I was,
people. TikTok.
And I was like, morning music, huh?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's like some psychological thing to that.
I've heard a lot of people do like the music in the shower thing and like mm-hmm. like a pre-meditation sort of thing.
I mean, I perform in the shower every day.
I mean, I do too.
Full concert.
Actually, I don't anymore because I live in a household, but I still live with my family. Fun fact, if y'all did not know. And the vents are thin.
Okay.
So I was singing opera. Because that's what one does. It was literally the national anthem.
Dude, Kirk gets a full show every night.
And I live downstairs, right, and my mom could hear me from the farthest room in the house, and she said, "You sounded so lovely." That's such a mom thing to say. And I never did it again. I was like, "Nope." I was like, "That was for me, and only me."
Oh, no. My husband literally just sits in our bedroom, and he's like, "Oh, God, I married that. She's crazy."
I love that for you, though. Unapologetically perfect.
Okay. But anyway, so that I thought that was interesting that everybody was like music, but I think You know, if you're that girl that needs your Starbucks before the morning, go get your dang Starbucks. You deserve it. Mm-hmm. You work hard. And
yeah, build that into the budget.
Yeah.
If that's what's keeping you calm and collected,
mm-hmm.
do it.
Well, and there's, like, one nurse on our floor. Like, she shows up at exactly 6:45, and she has her drink every day. And mm-hmm. let me tell you, she is, like, the most calm, collected person during report.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because she, like, does that moment of self-care in the morning. And she's like, you know what? I need my coffee. I need my fun little treat so that I can have a good day. And I feel like that's important, like, if you know. And I can tell you, I have better days when I have brand new scrubs. I feel so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we
switch... I mean, I have, like, 4 or 5 pairs now, and I religiously make sure that I have enough for an entire week that way.
Yeah, same. So I'm not stressed.
Well, I mean, I don't know who's wearing their scrubs over. Maybe I'm just a germy person. Like, I'm just like, I don't like the germs.
I don't either. I could wear
a second pair.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when I get new scrubs, like when we got our figs, I was like, I feel so cute today.
I know. I just ordered some on Mandala. So figs, Mandala.
Sponsor. We need sponsors. We love you. We love you
so much. Pay us. Fabletics?
What? We'll take anything. We love it. We love you too.
Any other scrub place that we have not listed?
We'll do it.
We'll do it. We'll get there. Give us a second.
You know what we need a sponsor for?
We are building.
What? We know what we need a sponsor for? Those cute compression socks?
Yes, I should wear some. Oh, I'm not supposed to be showing you my toes, actually.
Not for free.
Not for free.
We have sponsors for compression socks. You can see all of
the feet. I was going to say, maybe if we had a compression sock video, y'all are finally going to get to see my toes. Just the outprint. No, I just bought the cutest compression socks. They have, like, pretzels. We bought them together when we were in Colorado shopping. Mm-hmm. And they've got, like, pretzels and croissants.
Did you get the Halloween ones? I don't remember.
I think they are. No, I don't know. No, I didn't get any of those yet. I was going to. I haven't decided yet. What were we even talking about before this?
Putting on new scrubs.
Yes, putting on new scrubs. I think that's one of the things that I really enjoyed about working the night shift is that I cannot, like, get up early. Mm-hmm. I'm a very, like, roll out of bed, go to work kind of person.
Yeah, same.
Because I love to sleep. So it's actually been, like, better for me to be on the night shift because I'll get up at, like, 2 or 3 in the afternoon and I don't work until 6. So I have a couple hours to kind of, like, decompress and just, like, be alive before I go to my shift.
That's good.
And that has helped me so much more than rolling out of bed at 4 a.m. going, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
No, I can't do this.
I'm
not a wake up person. I could sleep for 10 hours a day and be happy.
I could sleep for 24 hours, I think. I need
a good little nap.
My mom was like, I just need a little 3-day coma and I think I'll be so refreshed. I'll just be so good.
You're like, somebody sedate me.
Oh, I think one of the newest things I'm doing is that I got a gym membership recently.
Oh, yeah.
School's over.
We need to go to yoga.
So I've been going and swimming in the pool.
So you were going already?
I couldn't help myself. I was like, I love the pool. I used to work as a lifeguard. And that was probably one of the favorite jobs I've ever had, was just being in the pool all the time. And I guess I was reading that water therapy is just very good for, like, regulating emotions. Fun fact.
Ooh.
So if you are ever having a really rough day and you were like...
What's the thing you were telling me about Tetris earlier that you read?
Oh, okay. I don't think I'll actually talk about the situation on here. It's not my story to tell.
No, but
I'll talk about it. We just had a very, like, adverse kind of event happen with a... altered patient, and one of our nurses was just having a really rough time with it, and I told her I had just recently, like, well, and I don't know how much truth this really has. I'm not telling you to go do this.
You can find the research.
Yeah, but I had heard that if you play Tetris after you have an adverse event, it kind of changes up, like, the pathological way you think about how the event happened. So it's, you're kind of, like, reducing the likelihood that you'll gain, like, some sort of PTSD from it. Like, you might have some acute, like, traumatic stress from the event,
yeah.
But in the long run, your brain may not think of it in the same way as it did because you had something to kind of, like, mentally...
Like, rewire it.
Yeah, like, mentally rewire you. And I'm not exactly sure how true that is, but I think my mom, because she's a big advocate on going to therapy, and she does a lot with, like, psychological mental health, mm-hmm. and I do believe I was talking about it with her, and she was like, yeah, like, people should do that. Like, it helps.
Even if it doesn't help, like,
I don't, and that's kind of why I'm like, I'm very like hesitant to put anything like advice. Cause you know, we have it in the intro. Like if you are having some sort of like medical advice that you need, go to a doctor.
Yeah.
If you are in need of psychological help, go see a therapist, like go find somebody professionally certified to help handle whatever you're going through. But I think it could be helpful.
Dude, I used to have 3 therapists.
Yeah.
I feel like therapy is a great thing. And I feel like all nurses should go to therapy.
I do too.
We see some weird stuff.
Yeah. I'm with you. And I know the hospital has that therapy program now.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, I think you get like 6 free
sessions. Yeah. Just to get you started.
Yeah. And then if they find that you're needing more help from there, mm-hmm. they can really kind of dive into it with mm-hmm. you. But I really think everybody should go talk to something like somebody about, you know, what we experience as healthcare providers. Like it's a lot mentally. And it's not worth it to hold it in and act like a savior.
Yeah.
Like, if that makes sense. Like you just need to do your job and then get away from the job.
I feel like in the moment, a lot of us are like, I'm fine. Because we don't want to make a big deal about mm-hmm. it. But I feel like it's important to look and be like, I am not fine.
But maybe it should be a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you just said.
Yeah. So what's something, you were so cute. I love you.
Her dog.
My
is
dog
like
is
crawling
being so cute.
Towards.
He wants to be on the podcast so bad.
Maybe comment and see if you want to see him. We'll bring him on.
No, what is something that you do at the beginning of your shift to set yourself up for the day?
That's a big thing. I love to look at a chart. Like, I know you guys don't have a lot of time when you get on the shift because there's a couple different things. Like, you really need to get in there. But I'm like, if I can look at their lab results for the day, I can look at the past notes from the doctor from the couple days. If I can even, like, look at the assessment tab and see kind of, like, what are the main issues we're looking at. I just think it sets me up for such a better day. And then when I'm in the room, because like I said, I give meds at night, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a very narrow window to kind of like get these assessments and these meds done before everybody's like, I'm trying to go to bed, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times, like they have a very like strict night routine at home that we're not able to
accommodate
in the hospital. So I go, what is the main thing from your routine that I can do when I come in the room and we can just get this done together and it'll make you feel more at ease. And 9 times out of 10, I have such a good night with those patients because like we established what needed to happen and we made it happen. So I know it's not like a not me ritual, but it's a me and the patient ritual.
Yeah. Well, we have those whiteboards on the doors, you know, mm-hmm. and one of the things on there is like your patient goals. And I like to do that with my patients, like, especially if I'm doing an admission, mm-hmm. if I'm doing an admission, I'm like, what is the number one thing that we can do A to make you comfortable or B is a goal for you? Like, do you want to be able to walk a mile before you leave? Like, what is your goal for this admission? Mm-hmm. Or what is something that you're nervous about? And then we kind of just like talk about it. And I always like add that in, like, if there's something like specific, like we had a patient the other day, like her son came and picked up her meds and she was like so worried. I guess like in the past she'd had like a bad situation at the hospital where like her meds got lost. Mm-hmm. But like she like, her meds had come with her when she got taken to the hospital. And we were like, your family can take them home. Like, we will release them to your family. Like, just have them come get them. And she was like so nervous that everybody was going to think that they were lost. And it was like this whole thing. And I was like, look, our floor does like these updates on Epic and it's like on the sidebar, you know? And mm-hmm. so like, you can see what's been going on for like 3 or 4 days. And so, like, I put in there and made it, like, a different color so people didn't delete it when they were, like, updating it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was, like, son took home her meds, and that, she has not brought those up. She's still at our hospital right now. But she hasn't brought that up in days. Like, it alleviated her stress. And we had, the 3 days I was with her, we had, like, the best days. And she told me, she was, like, she's like, are you sure you're not here tomorrow? Like, I don't want a different nurse. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, I have to have a day off.
You're like, I need a life. I need a life. You're like, we both can't be stuck in your
choice. Stuck here.
That's what I tell some of my patients that stay longer. I'm like, we both can't be in this hellhole together all the time.
I love when they're like, I want to go home. And I'm like, me too.
I'm like, I'll steal you. Let's go home together, actually.
I told my patient the other day, I was like, do you think they'll notice if we both leave?
No, that's funny.
Let's elope.
We'll just sign out AMA together.
No, but just like setting those goals for your day, I feel like, really helps me get through my day. Also, I'm a checklist person. So in the morning, you'll catch me writing a checklist out of, like not only, like, my meds and what times they're due. Yeah, and I use the brain on Epic. I use that brain, too, but because I love a green check mark. It's, like, my favorite thing ever.
I do, too.
I love when I look at the end of the day and I'm like, look at how productive
my day was. I
know. I
don't know how some of the older nurses don't use it.
I know, right?
My mom doesn't use it, fun fact. She says she doesn't ever look at it at all. And I'm like, I don't know how you do that. It's, like, what I live by. Oh, she's very smart, though.
She's wired different.
She's got different things going on in there.
The green check marks don't make her happy. I'm like, give me a sticker and I'm happy.
It is our gold star,
isn't it? It's a sticker. Like a sticker chart.
Anyway, continue.
But no, so I, like, write out, like, okay, like, I need to make sure I get Foley care done. I need to make sure I do, you know, line care on my lines. Like, you know, because we, like, wipe them down every day.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, this patient hasn't had a shower. I need to make sure my CNA gets their shower done, or, like, all of those things, you know?
Yeah.
He's so upset. Sorry. But, you know, I just make sure, like, I write out, like, the most important things for our shift that I have to make sure get done. And then I have a goal. Like, that gives me a goal for the day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know if that would help other people, but I know, like, there's people that I've been like, hey, maybe you should write a list and it'll make your day go by easier because then you know what you have to do. Yeah. And you're not, like, frantically running around going, I don't know what I need to do next, you know, because you're like, okay, what's next on the list?
All right, well, let's get right into it then. I feel like you beautifully just kind of went to, like, what is a goal? Like, new grads should always have a goal for the day, a goal for a week, and then a goal for their practice long term.
Yeah.
So what, like, going back, thinking back to your LPN experience, you're a baby nurse, you don't know shit about nursing. What would have been your day one goal?
One of mine, I remember we were IV certified. We got our IV certification so that we could start IVs. We could hang IV meds and stuff, and our state is different on, like, what they allow LPNs to do with that. But one of the things was when we were doing our certification, you had to, like, poke three people. You didn't have to be successful. You just had to poke three people to get your certification. And I was like, I just want to get one IV. And so my goal for, like, the first week of orientation was to start IVs. And I think I started, like, 8 IVs successfully that week.
Look at you.
And it was just, like, one of those things, like, it felt good and I met a goal. And then, you know, then it was like, okay, well, now I need a new goal. And so I think my preceptors were really good about being like, because it's, like, part of our, I know our year floor is different, but, like, a part of our, like, orientation binder was we had to set goals for, like, the whole thing. And so I was just, like, constantly meeting my goals. And so that kind of, like, it felt good, and B, it, like, proved to myself and my preceptor that, like, we were making good progress on me being ready to be by myself. Did you do that? Did you set goals?
No, so they didn't make us set goals. Looking back, I should have just set my own goals because it wasn't, like, a requirement, but I think it would have been good for me to kind of take the initiative. But and we did SMART goals during school, but I didn't realize, like, I know how to make a SMART goal. I just was kind of like, they're not that helpful. I was like, they're there. I can make one. I know how to do it.
You're like, I'm kind of bored with this.
But I didn't think it was going to be very helpful to me. And I think that was my biggest mistake. Everybody learn from me. I needed to set, like, actual goals, like, out loud, because I found that I was doing it every single day, but mine was so much different from yours. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do 8 IVs or 3 IVs in a week. I was survive today. Like, that was the goal.
But you know what? That's like that should be a goal every day.
Like, my first week was, because you only take, like, one patient max your first week. And like I said, mine was a little different because I could not get into anything. So my literal goal the first week was just do a head to toe successfully. I was like, it was, make sure, like, your patient is cared for during that head to toe, like, do the full thing. And yes, it took forever, but at the same time, like, I felt like I'm a better nurse for it now because I did it. And that one patient, I'm like, that was the most thorough head to toe. You probably would have seen charted on there. Cause I was
like, have you ever watched other people do head to toes? I feel like, when you tell me, like, head to toe, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start and go through all the systems, right? Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of nurses do it, and I don't know if, like, what they're charting, because I don't look at that, but I'm like, how is your brain working? Because they go through it so quick.
I go literally top to bottom.
Same.
I don't do systems.
Same.
Like, it kind of, like, if that makes sense. Like I start with the head. I go through, like, any, like, neuro symptoms you may be having, or any, like, flu-like symptoms, any, like, anything going on up here. And I'm like, let's get through that first. And then I do lungs, heart.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I do all my questions, and then I do all my listening, and then I do all my poking and my feeling.
Mm-hmm. And then I make sure to, like, when I get to the, because they don't ever do a focused assessment for the most part. Like, I know some people have told me to only do focused assessments when I'm having these patients in the hospital. And I'm like, no, we have to do the whole thing.
Yeah, like, what if something's wrong?
I'm like, sometimes, well, in your systems, like, interconnect too. And I'm like, sometimes, like, we may only be looking here, but that manifestation of a problem is happening somewhere else. Like, you have to look at everything, unfortunately. You can't, I mean, the ER is obviously different. Do not take anything I'm saying in context of if you have a specific way you do things on your unit.
Yeah. But, well, when we were talking about the blood assessments today, like when we were talking about the blood administration and they were talking about like lung sounds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're looking at like transfusion reactions, like specifically the symptoms.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like peripheral issues, like the edema and stuff. And I'm mm-hmm. like,
so I don't you think would, I've you ever. You would think to listen to the lungs if you didn't know.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I always listen to my lungs, but I don't think I've ever, like, specifically been like, oh, I need to check and make sure they don't have edema.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just, I don't know.
So, yeah, you gotta look at it all. So, that was my first week, and that was my goal, was just my mm-hmm. one patient that I had, make sure that head-to-toe was flawless. I was like, we're gonna go over everything.
Fair.
And you might think I'm interrogating you a little bit. I kind of am. I kind of do.
You know what?
I still do. I'm like, we're gonna go over all the questions, and
when I do an admin, I'm like, are you ready to speed date? My patients think I'm crazy, but I'm like, it's literally
like 5-minute chats with Jen.
It's like, where do you live?
What's your income? What
are you in a house or apartment? Do you own or you rent? It's like a whole thing, and I'm like, oh my god, I feel like a creeper.
Do you feel like you can pay your gas?
Did you ever see that movie Uncle Buck? Mm-mm. The little kid's like, where do you live? And he's like, house. And he's like, do you own a
rent? Oh yes, I have seen that. I'm gonna sound weird because I said I've seen a TikTok on it. I haven't seen the movie.
We gotta fix that.
But oh gosh, and then what was my goal? Like, and I just progressively, like, I went up, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to, and then, you know, my goal for the next week would be I'm going to finish my Q2s on time every single time.
Perfect.
Like, I just had to really break it down, like, hour by hour, because I was simply not surviving any other way else. Like, I just was, like, not getting the flow of nursing very well the first couple weeks. It was just very hard for me. And I'll admit that. I was, especially because I like to grab on, and I just want to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And God, it was hard to, like, really kind of dumb myself down and go, you're not perfect. You're not expected to be perfect. And you need to not be perfect. You just need to, like, get through this. And then I had to make goals more for myself. It was like, oh, can I take another patient now? And I'd do a couple weeks. And then I would make sure that everything on that checklist that we have to do as part of our charting,
mm-hmm.
like, everything had to be done. I was like, that was my goal, was just to make sure those things got done. I was like, it didn't need to look perfect. It just needed to get done. And then that next month, I would go, okay, I want to be better at giving report, because I feel like I'm very sporadic when I give report. We talk a lot about SBAR, and we're going to continue to talk a lot about SBAR.
Give a wonderful report.
Thank you. I just give a, but I've said I give a lot more than I think I have to, and some people really like that, and some people really hate it.
See, I'm more of like a story person, so I like tell you the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're very like, they're here for this, they're allergic to this, they have these many lines, they have this, it's because of this. Like, you are very like down the list, like all of the things that you need to know to like successfully take care of people. And sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, so like 5 days ago, the nurses are like, Jessica, you reel it in.
In the arm, a little nausea, a little vomiting, a little unwell.
they looked real sus.
Bad vibes.
Bad vibes.
So yeah, just you need to come up with a goal for the week. So yeah. Okay, let's give, like, these people are brand new, obviously. We're thinking, what would be a goal week one that they should potentially think about focusing on? What would you say it?
Honestly, I feel like week one of being a new grad, you probably should just be shadowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I
focus on asking questions.
Yeah, my boss is like really working on like setting up a successful way for us to precept people.
I think if she does figure that out, you should totally ask if you can bring that on here and maybe chat about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's like started making these binders, and I think they're great because it goes through. And I don't want to call it, my last hospital, we had something we called the unit Bible, and it was like the update of like the day for each patient. And that's mm-hmm. what the charges used. But it's kind of like, this is kind of like a Bible, how to survive your first year on the floor is what I want to call it. And that's what, write that down. You should use that, Jess. My boss's name is Jess too. Jess, write that down. The unit Bible. But it's like, it's kind of like the things that need, the things that absolutely have to get done each and every day. So it's like, yeah. You know, and it basically it's my checklist. I made checklist.
The unit Bible.
Did you?
Yeah. I should have you look at it.
You should look at it. And we could submit it.
Okay.
For use.
Well, I'll talk to you about that later.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think we can.
TM.
Yeah.
That's
not for the camera.
Anyway. No, so, but like in it, she had like, you know, our blood audits that we use, like it's a sheet she made that's like a breakdown of the blood policy. Mm-hmm. And then like a sheet on like, what do you do if you have a post-op patient? What do you do if you have a chemo patient? What do you do? Like all of the things that you're going to need to be able to like go back and look at, she put in this binder. And then like kind of like stuff like welcome to the floor. Like this is where things are located. If you can't find somebody to ask, like,
yes,
do you need to know so where nice. The blood pressure cuffs are? They're over here. You know, like just like little like
something
things.
You could give out when somebody's being orientated yes. to the floor and everything, like and even she, before they get there.
She color codes cool. it. So the LPN binders were purple. The CNAs are teal. Like it matches your scrubs.
Oh, perfect.
It's perfect. I'll have to show you mine. But as I like went on in orientation, like we added stuff to it. My preceptor would be like, oh, you really need this. Let's print it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think that first week you really just need to like shadow somebody because especially if you've like never worked in healthcare, just like the in and out of like following somebody around for 12 hours, like you're going to come be exhausted because like just observing.
Get good shoes.
But just like observing somebody for 12 hours, I feel like is a lot because you're not only you're watching what they're doing, but you're watching what's going on in the room. You're watching the charting. You're watching like how is the nurse like doing vitals, assessing, checking an IV, giving meds, like all in like it happens so like fluidly. I feel like as like a new nurse, you're coming in and you're like, oh, that's not how we did that in nursing school. Because I feel like when we were in the skills lab, it was like, not the skills lab when we were paper, like when we
the
were
sim.
Or like in clinicals, it was like, okay, I'm going to go change this IV dressing, and that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't, oh, I'm going to check and make sure it's patent. I'm going to change the IV dressing. I'm going to administer these four meds, and I'm going to do an assessment. Like, that wasn't taught.
There were a lot of interconnected things that you just aren't focusing on.
Yes, and I feel like that wasn't taught in nursing school to us, but, like, being as someone who's worked in healthcare, that's kind of how it works. That's how you get through your day, mm-hmm. is you're doing multiple things at once. And so I feel like as a new grad, that can be like really, 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 really overwhelming. And the amount of charting that nurses do. Oh my God.
I know.
It's as a insane. CNA, I was like, I don't know why you guys are always like panicking about charting. And now I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, I just want to stop her.
I just want to not. I don't want to have to chart anything else for the day.
It makes me a little like, it makes me a little kooky now.
Could you imagine if we still paper charted?
No, I don't think I would die.
I think I would die.
They wanted me to downtime because our computer system was down for like 15 minutes. Oh, for
the downtime?
Yeah, when we were supposed to be doing blood. And the doctor said, just hold on for 15 minutes, actually. And I went, no, thank God, because that paper is so long.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank goodness he said that. I don't want to do it right now.
Yeah.
I am going to do it, whatever you say. But I was just kind of glad that he was like, yeah, we're gonna wait it for a second. I gotta get another typing screen going anyways.
Yeah, just give it a minute.
Bless. But caveat to that, see one, do one, teach one. Like, just so you know, like, on your week one, when you're looking at it and you're looking at your preceptor doing those skills, you say, okay, I'm watching it, but I need to do this the next time when I have a little bit more of a better mental space to do it in.
Well, and honestly, I feel like nurses were hands-on people, so you're never going to get comfortable doing it until you do it.
Yes.
Like, we could talk about starting an IV all day. I was not comfortable with the first time, and it's supposed to be that way.
Like, I watched how to start an IV about 30 times before I went and I practiced on a real person. Completely different. Doesn't matter how much you watch it. It's just, it's such a different ballgame.
It's such a, like, a tactile thing, too. Like, we do so many things that are, like, touchy-feely and in people's space.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
I know. I didn't used to be, like, a touchy-feely person, but now I'm just, like, fingers.
I know. My poor husband. My poor husband is not a touchy-feely person, and I'm constantly like, I need to be touching you, and I'm like constantly like a part of me is touching him, even if it's just like
you're like here's my toe.
I'm like, here's my toe. I'm like, please just let me touch you, and he's like, why? And I'm like, I touch people all day long, that it's like a comfort.
Yeah,
you know, like it's.
No, I think it still gives me the ick when I'm home.
Really?
I'm like, everybody,
I need human contact to be comfortable now. It's so bad.
I don't, like, I just at home, I'm just like, oh, no, I'm good.
Nobody touch me.
But I do touch a lot of people a little bit more than I used to. And I'm like, oh, because my boundaries are like, don't touch people. And then I feel bad. And I'm like, I'm sorry I touched you. And everybody else is like, Allura, you're being weird. Like, I'm sorry.
Or you're literally a nurse.
I know. Oh, gosh. No. And I'll just be kind of looking at people's arms. And you're like, I'm like, I can put something right there.
That drives Kurt crazy. He's like, please quit looking at my veins.
Oh, my gosh. My dad has like really great veins, too. And my mom and I just kind of look at him.
Your dad, you could throw an IV needle at him across the room and hit it.
Oh, you could. You definitely could. But that's another day.
That's another day. Okay. Don't worry, guys.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how to prepare your body for a shift then, because we just talked about how long 12-hour shifts are. Talk about the shoes. Oh, we love a good shoe. What's your favorite shoe you're wearing right now?
I currently have On Clouds. Worth it. I think they're worth it. My chiropractor told me that you're not supposed to wear the same pair of shoes every day for a shift.
I did hear that as well. My mom told me that.
Yeah, so I've been recently swapping them out. I have a pair of, I have the Birkenstock clogs, the like wipeable ones. Pretty fantastic. They have good arch support.
I do believe it's because like the foam kind of compresses and then it kind of ends up at an odd angle and then you don't give it time to let it like come up. So you're kind of just like off your chakras, whatever the fuck it
is. I don't know. Birkenstock, listen, you guys got it down. And those clogs, I have two pairs because I got a buy one, get one free deal at the shoe store here. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I switch them. One day I'll wear my On Clouds and then I'll wear a pair of Birks. Oh gosh. And then I have a pair of Hokas.
I need to get more.
You just listen.
I wear Hokas right now. The SR Bondies. Sponsor us, please. Anybody, sponsor us. I religiously live by my SR Bondies. They're like leather and you can just bleach wipe them and they just look so good.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a bright pink pair, please. You have the peach. I want more.
Also, you know, the On Clouds, I've washed mine twice since I've got them and it's been like, what?
I've thought about trying them, but I'm so loyal.
Dude.
I'm so loyal.
My Hoka's washed really good too, but like I throw them in the washer every once in a while. I'm like, you're getting a little ripe.
You're like, no. Oh my gosh. Some of the girls like take their shoes off at the nurse's station and I'm like, it couldn't be me.
Oh, my feet are so stinky. We have those little cubbies in our room.
I could never do it.
And there's nurses that like switch them out. I wear those suckers home, take them off in the garage.
I do that too. I feel like my feet get so stinky. I'm like, I could never. I'm like, you would just be smelling.
I would just be sniffing it.
And I would be so embarrassed. <You're all. laughs> Like, even if I did like the powder and everything, I'm like, no. All I would smell is my feet.
Oh, dude. Sometimes when I wear my Birks, I'll like kick them off at the nurse's station just to like, you know, wiggle my toes. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, do my feet. Never the fuzzy. I'm like, do my feet smell?
Okay. Well, we loved our shoes.
We love our shoes.
Okay, meal prepping. But we wanted to talk about that because nursing can be very hard on your body, especially when you're working the day shift. I think the night shift is a whole different kind of like problem
awful
when
for
it
your
comes.
Body.
Yeah, it's a whole different kind of awful. But at least on the day shift, I know y'all don't get a lot of time to eat.
I have been really bad lately and not packing my lunch and eating downstairs in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Our cafeteria, I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to say this. I don't know what the heck is happening down there, but like we used to have so many good options, and lately it's been like the salad bar has been a little meek and I'm kind of sad about it.
They like take away the salad bar at 10:30 and we're just getting done with all our assessments and everything. So I feel like nobody ever gets the salads are expensive anyway. That's why we meal prep. But I think it's such a, especially when you're starting out, because it's going to be like survival mode. I really do think it's just, there's no better way to put it. And I don't want to scare anybody, but I just want to mentally prepare you that you're just like, this is going to be overwhelming. You're learning. You're doing the tasks. You're on your feet for 12 hours a day. You've probably just come out of nursing school. You have not been walking around like this. I clock sometimes about 18,000 steps in a day.
Same. Do you have snacks in your locker?
Yes. I have a snackle box.
I have like little soup buckets in there and all kinds of stuff. Cause I'm like, sometimes I don't like what I bring for lunch.
I call it the snackle box.
And we don't tell my husband that I do that, but sometimes I don't like what I bring for lunch and I'll just, you know, discreetly like get rid of it, you know, pawn it off on somebody else. Today. I don't feel like that today. Yeah.
Oh,
and so I have snacks in there hidden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely you need to meal prep. Like you need to eat something before you go on your shift. I stand by it. A lot of you girls are going to say, well, and guys, I don't know who's listening to this. That's whatever.
We've got to have some dudes.
I think we have some guy pops in here.
We got some verses.
But you're going to say, oh, you feel nauseous when you eat in the morning, but gosh, everybody feels better coming in with at least something in their stomach.
But also by 9 o'clock, I'm really crabby.
Yeah.
Let's be real honest. Just
need to eat. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to do something light before you come in for the shift. Then you need to eat your brekkie. Mm-hmm. And then you need to at least, and sometimes I feel like it's just ending up being a later lunch, but you need to have snacks at the end of the day.
You know what's really bad? The case managers on our floor have like the best candy ever in their office, and they do it. They do it on purpose. They want us to come in there. They want us to come in there and chit chat. Okay, like, they're like, please come be friends with us. I will straight up tell you, I am multiple trips in there. It's been so bad lately. I need to get my life together.
Yes,
but.
The girls on the floor bring in, like, crumble for the day shift all the time.
Oh, my God.
Now, do we get the leftover crumble?
Yes, you
like,
do.
Three different squares of the ones that they didn't want.
The night shift had a potluck the other night, and somebody made sourdough cinnamon rolls.
Oh, that sounds so good.
They smelled so good. I had to leave. I was like, I'm going to eat that whole bin.
The night shift has been, they're the best potlucks I've ever been to.
Oh, like, for sure.
We just fucking load up on food. Like, I'm talking, we have, like, a giant break room table completely filled with food, and so we just leave it for the day shift in the morning, because there's just so much, and we're like, you need to have some food.
Yeah. We had a quarter with no falls on our floor.
Oh.
So our boss has been making us pancakes on Tuesday and Thursdays in the morning. And, oh, thank God I scheduled myself to work those days. They're so good.
Like, I love a free breakfast.
I'm like, please do this every week. This is fantastic.
I didn't even actually sip that water.
Drink your water.
Picked it up and put it right back down. Hydrate yourself. That is
drink
our next.
Your water.
That is whatever you have to do so that you drink water. Because it's either one or the other. Like, you just don't drink water at all, or you drink way more water than you would at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is like a common debate on my floor, is that some people drink like way more water than they usually do at home. So they're dehydrated at home, but they're hydrated at work. I am on the opposite side, where I just simply, like, I survival mode, camel mode. I'm like, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to drink anything. I need to survive the day.
You're like, hey.
So that's my next biggest thing, that if you're like me and you simply just do not want to drink water, if it's not right in front of your face, find something to add to your water to make it palatable. If that's a liquid IV and you need to make that happen, I hate liquid IV.
Oh,
nothing,
really?
Nothing against them. I just don't think it tastes very yummy. I think I'm like, I think my electrolytes are okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's the one that the girls were adding? Oh, the Mio's.
Oh,
have you tried those?
Yes.
Do you like squirt it in there?
Yeah, but I do like a very little bit, because I'm also kind of like afraid of like artificial flavors in my kidneys. I'm always convinced I have a kidney stone. I don't think I have a kidney stone. I have a lot of health anxiety for somebody that's 23 and their body should be working okay. Yeah. But any, or like add fruit or cucumbers, or
you know, my
literally
favorite?
Anything.
What? Cucumber with strawberry.
I love blackberries.
Cucumber
and cucumbers.
Water.
Yes. But yeah, make it palatable. Drink your water. How much water should we be drinking in a shift? I don't know. Like 2 hydrants.
What did my what no. The dietitian told me one day that you're supposed to drink like 64 ounces of water a day for our altitude.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? That's kind of a lot of water.
No, that's like 8 cups of water. That's like the standard that they
really?
Talk about in school. Yeah, at least here. Maybe it's different for other people.
I don't know.
I know in our nutrition classes and then high school, they told us we needed to be drinking at least that much. I shoot for about 2 Stanleys, which are, my Stanleys are 40 ounces.
So that's 80 ounces of water.
So that's 80 ounces of water. I don't ever get there. I'm going to be real. I get there like a Stanley.
Have you tried the, what are they called? They're the coconut water ones. Hang on.
I don't know. I'm not a coconut fan.
I'm not either, but the waters are good. Hang on, I'm gonna have to. What are they called? Oh my God,
you wouldn't know.
I know. Hang on, I'm trying to think.
I would not
Powerade. It's Oh my goodness. It'll come to me later. Anyway,
okay.
It's like flavored, but the coconut water has like a ton of electrolytes in it.
Well, I think coconut water has a ton of electrolytes in it, anyways.
Yeah, it's one of the girls that just had a baby's been drinking on the floor to make breast milk. Oh my God, it's gonna bother me.
Just text her afterwards.
I will.
Okay, drink your water. That's really the end of that, is that you need to be hydrated, because I knew a girl. I actually knew a girl. She works as a pediatric nurse down in Colorado now, but she gave herself an AKI, like not a UTI. She gave herself a true and legit AKI because she held her pee in too much when she was on these shifts. And she ended up with like recurrent UTIs that ended up being like, it ended up affecting her kidney, so she had to go get flushed out, and she spent a couple days in the hospital to...
You will never see me holding my pee.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I am so religious about, if you need to pee, you need to pee. I'm like, anything can wait 5 minutes. There's very few instances that I feel like you would not be able to take a pee break if you're just like, everybody shut up, I'm gonna go pee. Sometimes that means you hit your panic button.
We're fully in me.
Sometimes I feel like that might be easier. A little leg bag
running around. Dude, I think I've felt that thing up multiple times because I pee a lot.
I know, I feel like I would too. I'm much better about drinking my water now. But
what is your favorite thing to do when you get home to leave your day at work?
See, my day's a little bit different than your guys's is because you probably go home and you stay up for a couple hours and decompress. That's what my morning is for me.
Girl, I am in bed by 8:30.
I know. That's a couple hours. That's like an hour and a half.
I'm an old lady.
Well, yeah, because like I said, I get up a couple hours early. I decompress. I hang out with my people. And then I go to work. And then I go swimming. I love swimming. I'm so glad I do that now again. And I just, that's literally what I do, or I fucking doggy paddle. I am a certified pro swimmer. That's something I'm just doggy paddling. I feel like I don't know how to do anything. Or I just float there for a second.
Oh my gosh. We should go to water aerobics with the grannies.
We literally should. I think we would love it.
It's on Thursdays. We should go to water aerobics with the grannies.
We literally should.
Okay.
But, so yeah, I do that, and then I go right to bed when I get home.
Oh my god.
Like, I shower, and then my head hits the pillow, and I am out. My cat sleeps on top of my head. We're good.
I feel like we've been talking for a long time. I think the next episode we should go into, like, some self-care. Like, what we do to, like,
you know. Let's just finish it out.
Our petties. Laura and I go get petties every month.
Yes. Those toes you can't see for free. They're manicured.
Don't worry. We have this, like, really nice nail salon we go to. No, I feel like we are really good about, like, taking time to just, like, decompress. Mm-hmm. Gotta have your girls, man. You gotta have your girls. You gotta be able to yap.
Or your guys. Whatever it needs to be. You need a support system.
Guys are different.
Sometimes it's almost, like, better to have somebody who's not in, like, the nursing or the medical field at all as well.
I feel, like, really bad for my husband because he's the only one in our friend group that doesn't work at the hospital.
Yeah. Like, my sister, she's a welder, and she literally has absolutely no clue what goes on in my life. So she just vibes with me.
She's, like, vibing.
When I rant, because I call her because we're in a time difference. So it's actually perfect when I call her right as I get off shift and we yap for about 30 minutes before she goes to work. Mm-hmm. And we just sit there and we complain about each other's lives and we go, man, I don't understand what that is, but that sucks for you.
Yeah.
We're in it together.
My sister's a nurse, so she gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you need people in and you need people out, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Full circle.
I don't know.
And then, yeah, you need your new grad group. Find if your hospital doesn't offer, like, a residency program, like a legit one where you meet up with other.
Find a group.
Residency students from different, like, units of nursing, you go find an online
a lot of the people on our Instagram, like, our friends on Instagram are new grad nurses. Mm-hmm. So, you guys need help, we can help you connect.
Yeah. Go on Instagram, go on Facebook. I know nobody uses Facebook quite as much, but they have some great support groups. Mm-hmm. Find yourself a Reddit group if you want to be anonymous and just talk shit.
You need to talk shit, go on Reddit.
Find, like, your favorite people on TikTok, follow us, and just listen to them, talk with them, like, it's, and just, you're gonna find people.
Yeah, you gotta find your people. This is a hard job.
And it gets better, but
yeah.
I definitely, like, those first few months, I feel like, are survival mode.
Yep.
And you just gotta get through it. I'm like, there's literally no other way to put it. And have people there to support you through it. And I feel like some of the things that we talked about today are, like, very helpful to get you through it. Until you can find your own kind of mojo. And then you'll find your routine better. And then it just won't be nearly... And then you'll be here thinking a year later, you're gonna be like, oh my god, I was dramatic as shit.
Well, and it's just, you're just gonna feel better about, like, the whole situation overall. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you're feeling burned out, use that PTO, my friends.
Yeah, don't afraid. Like, if you are feeling unsafe, call out. What are they going to do? Fire you.
What are they going to do?
Find a new job.
Mad at you.
No, but look, because you don't have to just be, like, physically ill to, like, be ill, if that makes sense. So I just recently had a day where I just was, like, physically, unwell, but my mental state was just even more unwell. So I was like, oh, I need a day. I was like, I don't feel safe. I just don't think I will be of any help, or I just don't think I would be safe. And I did that. And everybody on my floor understood. It's been a really kind of rough couple of months, yeah, cutie wise on our floor.
And I always am a big advocate for mental health days. Like, sometimes you just need the sunshine.
Yeah.
And you know, it really sucks being on the 8th floor.
What?
Is the corner rooms are so beautiful up there. You can see like over the whole city. And let me tell you, we call those the penthouse. And sometimes I just want to sit in there on the little couch with my patients and not leave that room. I just want to sit there and nap and look at all of the pretty green trees. That's what I want to do in my day.
Caveat, when you don't see the sun for 3 days a week, make sure you take your vitamin D. Or else you show up at your primary care office going, why do I feel like shit? And your vitamin D is 7.
Yeah.
That's what mine was, friends.
So take care of yourself.
And our normal range for vitamin D is like 20 to 80, and 20 is the lower side.
Laura.
Your girl was unwell.
Oh my god.
I hate the sun. I'm afraid of skin cancer.
You're a vampire, aren't you?
I really am a little bit. So yeah, like I said, you gotta take care of your surface. Because how are you going to take care of other people when you cannot take care of yourself to start?
Yep.
I'm like, you're just gonna put yourself in a very bad mental space, and it's going to be hard to continue doing something in this career field if you're 6 months in and you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Have you seen those TikToks lately that people are making that's like, probably needed a hug, but I put my scrubs on and went to work?
No.
Don't do that.
But don't do that.
Get your hug.
Get your hug. Do your hug.
Get your hug.
Hug somebody.
Whatever your hug is, get your hug.
Find the hugger.
Don't put your scrubs on and go to work.
Find your desk on the floor.
I'm a hugger. You're not doing yourself any good by not taking care of yourself.
No, you're not. But you will learn. We all learn. It's a learning curve for sure. But that's why we wanted to do this episode kind of like right off the bat too, to be like, we see you, we were you, but here's how you could do it a little bit better. That way you don't feel burnt out.
Okay, friends. For our Halloween episode, we want to do spooky stories from wherever you work. If you work in a clinic, if you work in the hospital, if you have like a really cool, fun nursing job, tell us about it.
Yes.
But send us your spooky nursing stories to panic.and@gmail.com
so that we can put it in the bio. Yes. Or not the bio, but the thing.
The show notes.
Yeah.
My little old friends that are like, I don't know what the show notes are, I will teach you.
Look it up.
The girls at work were like, what is the show notes?
Okay, in the comments on the YouTube, comments. Please.
But yeah, send us your spooky stories to our email, and we are, for our Halloween episode, we're going to have a fun little costume for you guys, and we're going to read spooky nurse stories.
We're going to dress up.
We have great ideas.
So much fun.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and continue to listen. That's a threat.
All right. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Okay.
Good job.